or someone you love wish you had a better job? Want to be happier on your current job? Don't even have a job? Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko.
It's been said that all of us have a handicap or another. And because, I guess, of the beauties of radio, you don't know that I have one, a recent one, and don't like to normally talk about it. But then it suddenly hit me that maybe there is an important lesson in it. So I'm going to tell you the story of my handicap and invite you to call in a few minutes and tell me about yours and hopefully how you've productively coped with it. I have played the piano my whole life, like a normal person. And then a few years ago, I developed a hand condition. I'm not going to talk about what it is. It's not painful at all. And it seems to have stopped. It's not going any further. But the bottom line is, 3 of my 10 fingers are now very much bent toward my palm so that I can't use them to play the piano. And indeed, my doctor, who is a world-class specialist in this, said, you're probably not going to be able to play a piano again because of the 7 fingers. They actually block each other in playing. There's all kinds of issues. It's an issue. But it was made me very sad. And I just thought, this is a very, my career counseling is the most important part of me. And then my wife and probably in that order, I must admit, my wife and kid. But music is not far behind. And so I, over the last couple of years, have tried to make the decision to not give up and to try to not feel sorry for myself. And, I have a natural proclivity to, we all, I think, default to a certain emotion. I default to sadness. And, it's very easy for me to just, get sad. I don't get angry. I'm not a bubbly person particularly. But it's very easy for me to get sad about the fact that I can't play the piano, that I actually can't play basketball anymore, which was another of my loves. And my typing is, of course, much impeded. But I decided that I was going to do my best to try to adapt to playing the piano with 7 fingers. So I have dragged in my little portable keyboard here, so I'll apologize a little bit. It doesn't sound like my... I do have a grand piano at home, but this doesn't sound quite like that. But it's not too terrible. And I decided over the course of at least the first segment of the show, I'm going to play 3 things. And the first thing I'm going to play, I decided, would be something that would be do double duty. Not only will it hopefully demonstrate that I'm not too terrible with 7 fingers and have adapted, but it's a song I wrote. And it's a song I wrote to mirror the path that my career counseling clients typically take. They typically come into my office and they're sad or they're depressed or they're very low energy because they're scared. And it takes a while, but little by little they gain confidence. And not all, most of them, but many of them, let's say it that way, many of them have a big triumph somewhere along the way. And then after the big triumph, then they're kind of back to being peaceful again. But it's not sadness and depression. It's kind of a sense of contentment. So this piece that I wrote attempts to mirror that. All right, let me do this here. Okay. Give me one more second. Okay. the path of my career counseling clients. Hopefully not too bad for seven fingers. And certainly something, as we just finished Thanksgiving, something I'm grateful for, that I've managed to find the drive to not give up. And so now I invite you to call it. If you have some sort of a handicap, and you have either triumphed over it — we love hearing success stories here on Work with Marty Nemco and KELW — or you're still struggling and you'd like me to try to help you perhaps find the strength within you to move forward past your handicap, whether it be a mental handicap, a physical handicap, both, a personality deflect. I have, you know, this is not my only handicap. I am wildly intense. And you put me on any committee, on any team, I fail, because I have this incredible need to, quote, help, and I dominate every group, and so I don't do well. So whatever your handicap is, if you could either want to tell us your success story, as I said, or could use a little help, what I call a three-minute career makeover or workover here on Work with Marty Nemco, here's the phone number, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And while I'm waiting for your calls, I suppose what I'll do is do you think, Debbie, I should play one more thing? Okay. So this is another one. It's that I like, that has kind of messages for career. It's an old standard, but we all grew up with it. It's Over the Rainbow, because it does indeed, it speaks of our dreams, and sometimes, and it's true in career too, that the answers are really that there's no place like home, literally or metaphorically, that very often that which we ended up in by chance is really the complex result of all kinds of unconscious decisions about where to turn for work, where to turn for training. So, yes, while sometimes people need to and should make radical career changes, sometimes there is no place like home. Seven Fingers is my shot at it. And for those of you just joining us, I'm Marty Nemco. This is Work with Marty Nemco. But I made a little revelation at the beginning of the show that, like all of us, we all have some handicap. I have one, which is that I recently had developed a hand condition that, while not painful, has rendered me a seven-fingered pianist. And I hope to try to provide a little inspiration for you as you attempt to deal with your challenges to not just fold, but to screw up the courage, or was it Shakespeare who said, screw it to the sticking place, screw your courage to the sticking place, and Hopefully that's a little bit of inspiration for you. I'll give out the phone number again. If you, there are three reasons I'd like you to, three reasons you might want to call for what I call a three-minute career makeover. One is if you have had a handicap or have a handicap, mental or physical or both. Whoops. I just hit the beta button there. If you have a handicap, mental, physical, or otherwise, or combination, and you've either triumphed of it and wanted to, over it and you want to tell us your success story, that'd be terrific. Or if you're still struggling and would like me to do a three-minute career makeover on you, that's great. I also, as always, don't want to exclude anybody who's got some other kind of a career-related issue, whether you're 16 or 61, or even 71, heaven forbid, I didn't mean that, heaven forbid, that way. What I mean was that I'm being sarcastic. Obviously, you can be 70. My father worked till he was 82. And so whatever your age, whatever your problem, whether you're a clerk or a CEO, nonprofit, for-profit person, if you could use some career help, don't know what you want to be when you grow up, having trouble with your boss, having trouble with your supervisees, self-employed, contemplating self-employment, want to run your idea by me, those are all good reasons to call Work with Marty Nemko. The phone number here, 415-841-4134. That is the number here at KALW, 415-841-4134. Let's go to the phones. Welcome to the show. It's your turn on the air. What's on your mind? Hello, it's you. Hi, you there?
Hello, who is it?
Yeah, this is Marty Nemko. You're on the air.
Oh, good. Look, I was listening to you on my drive home, and I thought, does Marty Nemko know about Ravel's Concerto for the Left Hand?
I am unfortunately defective in both hands, and so it's a nice thought, and indeed there is music for one hand, so I appreciate that kind thought. So anyway.
And the other thing, which isn't that important, but important for everyone to understand, everyone, almost everyone, has a handicap.
That's what I said.
We all do, and
twice.
We should be sympathetic to those who have them.
Absolutely, and sympathetic without letting them use it to justify bad behavior. Sometimes people who have their handicap of whatever sort end up milking it for all it's worth. And so there is, like in almost everything in life, there's nuance. There is a fine line between being non-prejudiced against them, being supportive of them, encouraging their efficacy, and saying, oh, you poor baby, which can make them more inert. Anyway, I want to thank you for your call.
I was a teacher for 25 years, and I would have a class, and a couple kids would get kind of wise and not pay attention to the kid that seemed to stutter or have a little bit of a problem. Mm. And I would take quite a while to get all those kids to understand that is a handicap that he may have, but he has overcome it in many other ways and excels in those other ways. So be appreciative of those.
Yeah. Well, you know, I love the idea of nuance. So there is, sometimes we celebrate diversity of styles and whatever, that not everything is equal. So when I hear somebody, for example, I'm being really honest, as a musician, somebody who has taken a lifetime to develop their craft, whatever genre it is, whether it's jazz or classical or pop or ragtime or, you know, whatever, hip-hop, I am full of admiration. But then there's a lot of people, I've heard a lot of musicians in my life who think they're God's gift and think they're great and they have really not put in the effort and they don't have the talent. So everything is like this balanced nuance thing. Anyway, I want to thank you all very much for calling Work with Marty Nemko. Phone number again, if you would either like a three-minute career makeover or having perhaps listened or not listened to my story of having had to adapt to losing three of my fingers, essentially, in terms of playing the piano and having to learn how to play with seven fingers without folding and getting depressed, which I could do. Be happy to hear your success story, or if you're still struggling, love to hear that. Or if you simply want a three-minute career makeover because you could use some help, this is what I do. I'm in my 24th year doing this here on KALW. The phone number here at Work with Marty Nemko, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Let's go back to the phones. Welcome to the show. It is now your turn on the air. What's on your mind? Hi, it's you. Hi.
Good morning, Marty.
Hi.
Hi. So I personally don't have a disability, although my brother and the brother of my girlfriend have, I guess, schizoaffective issues where they aren't able to follow through, be productive, hold down a job, go to school effectively.
Yep.
You know, personally, I don't, and from a professional perspective, from what I've heard, you know, there really isn't anything you do until this person is on medication.
Right. That's absolutely true in some cases, no question.
But is there any kind of educational or vocational route that you think that these folks can maybe get to where maybe it would provide some sort of guidance or just some sort of safety net or path forward?
Well, as well, yeah, there definitely are. Well, first of all, let's take the most dependent of them all, which is certainly the California Department of Voc Rehab has programs specifically for those kind of folks. And if the person really needs the safety net, SSDI, Social Security Disability, enables a person, if they really are unable to work, to get a very, you know, I happen to know, so have a relative who makes gets quite a bit of money for free. He got a $14,000 cash thing, and then he gets a large, significant monthly payment, and he give him subsidized housing and all kind of health care and everything, and psychiatric care. So certainly SSDI, America is a relatively generous country, and California is a particularly generous state, and the Bay Area is a particularly generous area within it. So if that's what he needs, great. Now, if he is a step up from that and he is able to work, there are people like that tend to do best in one of two kinds of environments. For starters, they may move up from there, but having routine jobs, whether it be working in a warehouse if he's physical or if he's driving the same, but people, I know somebody who would drive the shuttle bus, Hertz rent-a-car shuttle bus that would simply go from SFO to the Hertz place back to SFO. Being real structured like that helps. And the third thing is, if he's unpredictable in terms of when he's got good days and bad days, and usually people with not only schizoaffective disorder but a wide variety of mental challenges have good days and bad days, that's where simple self-employment comes in. If he's got some strengths, whatever it is, if he's a writing-type person, maybe doing some editing for somebody where he gets a two-week deadline or a week deadline, it's not urgent that he get it done immediately, he can do it on his good days. If he's somebody who is less skilled and he's somebody who's just going to be doing envelope stuffing, there are jobs for things like that, too. Does any of that buffet of ideas resonate with you as to what might work well for him?
It's certainly the self-employment idea. I mean, both of these guys are absolutely brilliant, some of the smartest people I know, but just when it comes to being effective and responsible, you know, there's just obviously this huge mental block.
Right.
So yeah. I think something in regards to self-employment where they can play on their strengths.
Right.
And I think unless they're doing something that really engages them and that they enjoy, there really isn't the motivation to overcome their mental disability.
Mm-hmm.
So this seems to be the best option. Are there any kind of routes? I'm sure there's like a small business bureaus.
That's going to be really pretty challenging. The small business, SBA.gov, offers a whole panoply of programs. There's also something called San Francisco Renaissance, which I believe is affiliated with them, which helps small businesses get started. But if these are two of the most brilliant people you've ever met, one of the ways that you can seemingly solve the paradox of how can a brilliant person work if he's not really motivated to is he gets two things. He does something to bring in the money, something very, very simple, whether he drives a cab something that works with his strengths but is not going to be challenging, because if he's got emotional issues, he can get stressed. While he may be brilliant, he may have all kinds of problems dealing with the various emotional challenges that we all face in the workplace. So one of the ways to avoid some of that is you give him a real simple job. If it's a simple self-employment or simple working in a warehouse or working in isolation where everything is structured, pretty predictable. But then you have him do something that is on his own, like write a book or develop a computer program or write a concerto or something that makes him feel like he's not relegated to low-level work. That 1-2 punch can often be the ideal balance. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I want to thank you for the call. All our lines are lighted up, so let's go back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco. It's your turn on the air. What's on your mind? Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Marty.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, first of all, for a guy who's only got a few fingers left, he's playing a hell of a piano.
Thank you.
You know, it reminds me of Django Reinhardt, yeah, the jazz guitar player. He had three fingers that were going, and he was able to, you know, make jazz history.
Right. Are you talking close enough to the phone? Because we're barely hearing you.
Okay, how's this? Is this better?
A bit. Go ahead.
Is this better?
Oh, this is fabulous. Yes. Now you got
okay.
it.
Okay. The reason I'm calling is, when I was young, I was always told, you know, you're small enough to be a jockey. Because I was, because of a pituitary problem, I never really grew. I had growth issues, you know. And
right.
So, you know, everybody said, you know, when I was 18, I looked like I was 10. In the playground, they would pick the girl over me when they were picking teens.
Oh, that must have hurt.
You know, this is the kind of life I had when I was a kid.
Yep.
And, but I had always heard, hey, you know, you're small enough to be a jockey. You're small enough to be a jockey. So at the age of 23, never been around horses, I quit my job. I left home and I went to learn how to be a rider. And, you know, to my chagrin, I would find out that my size would be the least of it when it was all said and done. But it was something where I was put in a world where a small man could be anything he wanted to be.
Right.
You know, I just gravitated towards what could I use my size to an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, because of my late coming to the sport, I never really set the world on fire. You know, I never won any Kentucky Derby. Or I managed to win races wherever I went. I got to tour the world. I worked in Hong Kong. I worked in Japan, Mexico, Canada, East Coast, West Coast, and all the little places in between. And I think what I'm trying to say is, you know, the life gives you lemons. You got to make lemonade.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. You know, one of my other weaknesses when I was 20, I was a gambling addict. I would go to the track twice a day. I was in New York. I would go to Aqueduct or Belmont for the thoroughbreds during the day, and then I'd go to the Yonkers or Roosevelt Raceway to the Trotters. I would lose a fortune. I was a crazy maniac. I often wondered, what often happened was, with so many races, the odds would be over 20 minutes before post time, the odds on a particular horse would be 7-1 or 5-1. And then the last 30 seconds, it would get bet down to 1-5 or 1-3, which made me think that there was inside money that wanted to bet on the horse at the last second. How many races are kind of fixed?
You know, I've heard that all along.
Mm-hmm.
Anymore, it's really, really hard to fix a race. You know, that you have the people, the powers that be, that have to protect that $2 better, you know. In the old days, yeah, and especially in small places where the purses weren't very much, you know, the trainers and the owners would have to try and, you know, get a horse in there so they could just make some money on the gambling because they weren't making it in the purses. But anymore, the public is pretty well protected, you know.
I see.
What happens is when you see the money, the odds drop down, like the smart money waits till the last second.
Right.
That, right. And in fact, the smart money doesn't even bet at the track. The smart money's got bookies. So it doesn't drive the odds down. But yeah, you know, you hear about that, and I have to chuckle because, you know, they people say, oh, you're a jockey, so you must be a rich man. You know, if that were true, there'd be a lot more rich jockeys.
Exactly. But, you know, I love, you know, I've very often in the show, I do these things called segments called What's It Really Like to Be, or whatever. So the question that I would want to ask you as a jockey is, what is the difference between a guy like you who's a, you know, professional jockey, but you and Angel Cordero? When I was betting, Angel Cordero was the jockey. He was the king of the kings. What's the difference between what you would do on a horse and what Angel Cordero would do on a horse?
You know, I got to ride with Angel back in the mid-season.
Really?
When he came to the West Coast.
Huh.
And it's like any other sport, you know, you can work at something and become really good at it, and then there's something where you can't even get close to, and that's this natural ability, natural talent.
Yep.
It's a gift.
Yep.
You know, as good as I worked at it, at best I was adequate, at worst I was mediocre. You know? I've had to learn to face my shortcomings. But yeah, there's people that I see on horses, it's just amazing. You could take any sport and you can see that person. It just comes so easy to him.
It's just, you know, it really frankly is just like the piano. I remember my earliest memory of when I was a little boy. My parents sent me to, they were sick of me because I was this hyperactive kid. And so they sent me to this day camp, had no money, but they sent me to the crappiest day camp. And it was so crappy that there was a piano outside. This is New York where it rains all the time. And so the piano was rained on, whatever. And one of my earliest memories of my whole life at age 5 is these kids banging on the piano and I'm watching transfixed. And I watch after about 5 minutes, and then I'm in my typical type A crazy way. I push them away from the piano, and I immediately start playing chopsticks, and I can immediately do it. And by the time I was 12 years old, I still can't read music well at all, but I could play anything by ear in full arrangement. It's just a talent. It's never practiced. It's just, there are some things we have to expect, that success at a high level is a combination of, as you're saying, both talent and hard work. Anyway, I want to thank you for the call, because we do have a lot of lines lit up, and I also want to intersperse a little more music. For those of you just joining us, listening to Work with Marty Nemco, as usual, we're doing 3-minute career makeovers, but something a little different. I'm going to fill you in again for those of you just joining us. I have always played the piano my whole life, and then a few years ago, I developed a hand condition that essentially made, they weren't cut off, but they're frozen in a very bent position, so not only can't I play with them, but they make it awkward to play with the rest of my hand. And the big-time doctor, who was a specialist with this condition, said, you'll never play again, and that made me very sad. And I decided to not fold. And I thought, as perhaps a little inspiration, because all of us have handicaps, I do a little playing on the piano with you, 7 fingers. So now I'm going to play something. I'm going to play a part of MacArthur Park. MacArthur Park, 7 fingers. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco. It's your turn on the air. What's on your mind? Hello, it's you.
Hello, Marty.
Yeah.
Yes. So my question's about the thing you pointed out to earlier, where you talked about the fine line between somebody with a handicap milking it versus being self-sufficient.
Right.
So I have sister with bipolar disorder.
Oh, I'm sorry, with what? I didn't hear. What disorder?
She has bipolar disorder.
Bipolar, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
And so she's 34 years old, and she's struggled being self-sufficient, still lives at home with her mom. And so I'm always, very often she has challenges and so forth. And so I've always been tried to straddle that line between being empathetic with her when times are tough, but then also to push her and challenge her.
Right.
And so I guess my question is really about the nuance of where is the fine line, for example, because there are often times that I challenge her, but she can get emotional and upset, and I feel like I'm pushing too hard, and then I kind of fall back into more of a sympathetic position. And I don't know if maybe that her getting emotional is just a milking it reaction, if
right.
you will.
Hard to tell. Right, exactly. So let's... one of the ways in which you're less likely to get the negative reaction is if indeed your recommendations are more on target. So tell me about what... Either tell me about her so I can make some suggestions as to what she might do to be more self-sustaining, or do you want to run by me what you think would be the wisest thing for her to do that would be self-sustaining, we can work from there?
Yeah, I think I'll just maybe offer up that she went out and got a medical assisting certification.
Okay.
To do a medical assistant job.
Okay.
She went ahead and got... did the course and then did an externship for 3 months and got some experience. And then kind of fell then into that, looking for work, but not really finding anything and not really being consistent with looking.
Yeah, and I also cannot imagine somebody, you know, if there's any field where you've got to be consistently good day in and day out, it's going to be direct patient care. And medical assistants are working with patients, sick patients, well patients. You've got to be like a machine. You've got to be perfect. I would think that's a misfit. Am I reading it wrong?
I'm sorry, that would be a challenge?
It would be a misfit for her. That's not the right career for somebody who is not emotionally stable. She's got to be like a rock to be a medical assistant. Am I wrong?
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair point.
Yeah, so it's the wrong career. So that's what she's got certification in. But you know her. What would you say are her legitimate strengths?
Well, she's a very giving person. She's one of these, not to be negative, but she's kind of a people pleaser. So she's very good at attending to others' needs. She's done well in customer service positions.
Okay.
Let's
play a game. We'll play the optometry game. The optometry game, do you ever go to the eye doctor and the eye doctor asks you whether it's better with lens one or lens two?
I'm sorry, whether you're what?
Have you ever been to the eye doctor and the eye doctor asks you whether it's better with lens one or lens two?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to give you two choices for her, and you tell me, based on your intuition, which she would more likely sustainably succeed at and be less likely to cry and say no to you, okay? So would she be more likely to be a better elder companion or work with animals as a pet person, working with a pet dog walker?
Probably dog walker, I would think.
Okay. Would she be better as a dog walker, or would she be better working with antiques, finishing antiques?
I think dog walker.
Okay. Would she be better with dog walker, or would she be better... is she stable enough that if she were in charge of working in a preschool or infants, would that be too much? Would she be dangerous there?
Talks about being around kids being stressful for her.
Stressful, cool. Okay, no good. Would she be better off as a dog walker or would she be better as customer service?
What was the second one?
Customer service.
That's a tough one. I think customer service is something she can do well at.
Okay, let's drill down. Customer service on the phone or customer service in a call center?
You mean person or a call center?
Yeah, a call center, you know, where there's three, five, or ten different people with customer service in one place. They have a supervisor on site. Would she be better doing that or more like what I call the JetBlue model? JetBlue reservationists work from home, and if they have a problem, they call the supervisor. Would she be better off working at home or working in a call center?
Probably at home.
At home. And would she be better off doing customer service on a technical product or a non-technical product?
Probably non-technical.
And so let's say I said that she the idea on the table is for her to do customer service for a non-technical product, like it could be, right now we just passed Thanksgiving. You know, Butterball Turkeys has a whole staff of people where people are having trouble with their Butterball Turkeys. They call in, what do I do in this situation? Would she be better off doing Butterball Turkeys or better off doing... William Sonoma cookware.
I'd say Butterball Turkeys.
Would she be better off doing Butterball Turkeys or problems with your cell phone service?
Butterball Turkeys.
Butterball Turkeys or a jewelry company?
Butterball.
Butterball Turkeys or Land's End clothing?
Clothing.
Clothing. children's clothing, adult clothing, it doesn't matter?
Adult.
Adult clothing. Women's clothing, men's clothing, or both?
Women.
Women's clothing. So if I said, now we're going to change games, and the game we're going to, what's her first name?
Jay.
So if Jay, we're going to create a Jay meter, and the Jay meter goes from 0 to 10, with 0 means the idea would make her puke, and 10 means it would give her ecstasy. So the idea of her working from home, doing customer service for a women's clothing company, there's millions of them, that especially, you know, those that sell mail order Cadillac, like Coldwater Creek or whatever, J. Crew or any of the rest of them, what would that score on the J meter?
I'd say 7.
7. And what keeps it from being a 10?
I don't know how passionate she is about those areas.
Good. What is a product she is passionate about?
Well, she likes gardening, and she likes animals, and she likes...
Okay, great. So if I said she was going to do customer service for pets.com or for a gardening website, what would that score on the meter?
Yeah, I think that score would go up to 8 or 9.
What keeps it from being a 10?
I wonder if the hours, I don't know how long the hours are. In other words, if she has...
Let's say that was negotiable. Let's say that she could work, for starters, part-time. She'd be a fill-in. She'd be a substitute, and she'd work part-time, on call, and if she wasn't available, they're not expecting a sub to be available all the time. They call her up. If she's available to sub, she subs. If she's having a bad day, she doesn't. How does that... Now, what is the score on the meter?
Yeah, it goes up. It goes up to 9, 10.
Good. Okay. So we started about 10 minutes ago with a woman who was unable to do much of anything, and it was sitting around the house, was crying all the time, saying no, 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 no. Now we have an idea that within her limitations would score a 9 or a 10. Now we come full circle to what was your original question, is how do you know when to strike the balance between being tough on her and not? Here's how you might want to proceed. You tell her about this phone call. You ask her what she thinks of the idea. You play the meter game with her, because maybe she'd score it a 6. And ask her what keeps it from being a 10. Keep going until she gets to where she says it's a 9 or a 10. And then say, how could I support you in getting from here right now, where you're feeling unhappy with yourself, you're not making money, to where you can be successfully employed in that customer service job that you deem a 9 or a 10, and you be, that's where you are supportive, as long as she's taking the baby steps. If she goes, I can't, no, that's playing the victim game. Supportive is, okay, let's take a deep breath. That sounds like it was too big a challenge. What's our next step? How can we move it forward? If I said that is the role that you need to play, would you agree or no?
Great, yeah. Really good.
All right. Thank you very much for calling Work with Marty Nemko.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care. You know, I don't bring this keyboard here very often. I am going to bring it here. My show's on Christmas, 2 days before Christmas. So as I've done once before, I will bring my keyboard and play Christmas carols then on the Christmas show. But for now, while I've got it here, the thing is heavy. It's 43 pounds. And so I'm going to... for those of you just joining us, you are listening to Work with Marty Nemko. And in between 3-minute career makeovers, I have revealed that I have a pretty significant handicap that I'm wonderfully able to hide because it's radio. But a few years ago, I developed a hand condition that basically renders 3 of my fingers useless. And that has very much affected my piano playing. And my doctor said that I'd probably never play again. And so I, you know, had made a decision whether I default to my normal sad self or try to screw my courage to the sticking place and learn to play 7 fingers. So, I've done that. So I've sort of. So, those of you just joining us haven't heard, I'll play another of my favorite songs. And again, this show is all about people. It's all about relationships, all about connections, all about, without my knowing you, listening really carefully to what's being said and trying to see what is this human being, how could this human being be better off as a result. So people do need people, and so I'm going to play people. Thank you. All right. Well, seven fingers worth of Marty Nemko, showing at least one way that a person can try to overcome their handicap. If you have a handicap of any sort, we all have something. And you've either triumphed over it and want to share your story, or you are still struggling and would like me to provide what I call a three-minute career makeover or workover. The number here, Work with Marty Nemko, NKALW 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Let's go back to the phones. Welcome to the show. It's your turn on the air. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
I'm 66 years old.
Mm-hmm.
When I was about 9, I had a brain injury. And after a long period of time, or a recovery period, I came back and quit school, graduated college, have just about finished 25 years with major company.
Mm.
The major company has recently revamped a lot of things, and it's sort of taken away my job.
Mm.
And I'm in the throes of kind of despair, not knowing where I'm working, and just sort of badgering people, saying, "What work do you have?"
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's, you know, NCB, the handicap is coming back. I'm falling and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And... I just feel very despairing at times.
Okay, let's break it down. Let's break it down from step by step here. So it sounds like you're still working there, but they've kind of taken away a lot. Are you still working there, first of all? Let's get that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. Do you have a champion there, somebody who you perhaps has been there a long time, who has after you work with somebody for a long time, it's kind of almost a love feeling after a while. Is there somebody there who's respected, who is your champion?
I guess she became my champion after I said I didn't want to retire.
Okay. And have you had a good conversation with her, either sometimes it's at work or sometimes it's going out for a drink or coffee with her or even out to dinner? Have you had a good enough conversation with her about developing a plan where she and you together will strategize on finding a place where they, despite your handicap, where you will, you know, where they don't have to toss you out like used merchandise?
Mm-hmm. Yes. We've had conversations and... we've come up with a certain plan, but it's like many big organizations, things don't come in time. I mean, it's like their time, not your time.
I understand. Well, let's look at that. So what is the plan? Tell me what the plan is. Let's see if we can accelerate it.
The plan is I am to help the nurse rather than sit at the desk all day.
Can that be done informally rather than with a formal job requirement change? Does it require a formal set of approvals, or could it be done informally?
It'll be done informally.
So, okay. So if it could be done informally, why is there a need for the long corporate, you know, process for decision-making?
It's the way the company is, the way it works, the way who is there and... who does something at one time. And I guess I know it's coming. It's just, at the moment, it's very debilitating to sit there and wait for it coming and not feel just broken down.
Here's what I want to suggest. I want to suggest a couple of things. I want to suggest that, number one, until whatever, it's even if it's a formal, it sounds like you're waiting for some, you have to wait for some approvals. When you've got a little extra time sitting at the desk, offer to people who maybe there is somebody there who is a nurse who's feeling overwhelmed, and ask her if you could do a little bit, you know, can I help you? Can I even, whatever it is, I'll be happy to help, whether it's cleaning up things or getting her stuff or whatever it is. And secondly, if you're suddenly starting to have a resurrection, if you will, of your physical symptoms, have you seen the right doctor? You know, the medications that exist now for motor problems, you're saying you're tripping and falling, the medications that exist for addressing motor function problems have dramatically improved from when when you were first diagnosed at age 9. Have you had a good consult with a doctor, which may mitigate some of those physical deteriorations you're describing?
I have just recently found a doctor.
Okay.
The one before just totally dismissed everything.
Okay.
And it's like, this is not something that you can just put your finger on. It's one day is good and one day is bad.
Okay. So what I want to leave you with for today, to give you when you're feeling despondent, is you've got now, think about, you found the new doctor. Go and use some internet research or whatever. Let her help you work with her or him to get what you need to do to improve on your physical situation. Go and informally, until you get the informal approval to do what you do, go and be the kind person who's going to nurses and saying, I'm willing to help you. And keeping that in mind can help the days pass between now and when they do find a place for you. All our lines are lighted up, so I'm going to thank you very much for the call. Back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco. It's your turn on the air. What's on your mind? Hello, it's you. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, it's you. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Marty. Well, you know, I'm really inspired by your story with your artistry with the piano, because I've had a degenerative knee condition since I was a child, which really limited me, and I was always very passionate about the outdoors and running, so I kind of overcame that and have had 3 surgeries, but now I've had to give up running, and so I can really understand that, you know, feeling of loss and trying to come back to it. But I did kind of what you did. I kind of adapted what I could with that passion. So that part I really can relate to and admire in you as well.
Thank you. And, you know, and the thing is, the basketball I couldn't do, because I just, I can't hold a basketball anymore. So that I just had to accept and replace it with something. So now, every day, I take a long hike with my doggy Einstein, which gets gets me exercise. And you know what? I don't miss basketball anymore. And I loved it. I was a guy who played 7 days a week. On the day of my doctoral orals, an hour before my orals, I was playing basketball. I mean, I was a nut. And yet, you know, after a while, you adapt.
Well, long-distance running gave me that same kind of expression and just clarity and all that it brings your life, discipline and just health. But I replaced it. I replaced it with core training and cycling, and a lot of times stationary cycling at the gym, since I don't have, you know, a lot of time to go out on a trail cycle. But exactly. And then you find those ways to adapt that bring, you know, that kind of same kind of, you know, passion and not passion, but, you know, it's fulfillment in that way. And you're able to have that replaced. And it took a while. I felt like I lost part of myself.
Right.
It took a long time to kind of get there, but it has really helped. And I'm able to feel that same kind of, you know, feeling at the end of cycling and that type of thing. So strange.
You know, it took you a long time, but what I've found for this is not just me now, but a number of my clients, that the longer you allow the wallowing time, you know, to recover and heal and process, the harder it is. It becomes a bigger part of your consciousness, and it's harder to move on. The people who are successful, to use a tired metaphor, when they fall off the bike, they get right back on again. So it doesn't build the time for fears to build in. So frankly, as soon as I got the diagnosis and the doctor told me, forget it, dude, you're not going to play piano, I started working on piano right away. I knew the basketball was over because I just can't hold the ball. But I immediately started, okay, how can I play my favorite songs with 7 fingers? And that gave me hope more quickly rather than this processing thing. Anyway, I want to thank you for the call, because we do have all the lines lighted up. Let's go back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco. It's your turn on the air.
Hi, Marty.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Grace.
Hi, Grace.
I have had 2 nervous breakdowns, and I'm diagnosed as bipolar. I was an adult education teacher of art and singing for memory enhancement. And I was pretty much in charge of my own classrooms, but dealing with the administrators was stressful, and I haven't been able to push myself to go back to teaching. I mean, there really is no adult teaching anymore in California because of the cuts in 2009.
I just got hired by I know that Berkeley Adult School is hiring me right now to teach a course for them, so I don't know if that's true. And they said there's a whole big catalog full, so I don't think it's dead. But let's assume, for example, let's assume for the moment that you're not going to be able to do that. Normally, when people are too stressed by teaching in a system, either by the kids or by the administration, they tutor. They work one on one. And you said you art for memory, so I'm assuming you're working with people memory impaired from dementia or Alzheimer's. Would you be good at doing one-on-one coaching with people who have Alzheimer's, dementia, stuff like that? Using art, use singing, that kind of stuff?
I was working in senior centers and in assisted living places, and I found the assisted living places would be depressing because yeah. I get attached to the people, and then, you know...
They go. But there is people in the intermediate stage, either who are living at home or who go to adult day center for activities and recreation. And whether even at this point, if it's at a volunteer or for pay, if I said I wanted you to visit the local adult center and see if you could either one-on-one or a small group, these are much less bureaucratic, you know, than the school system is the most bureaucratic entity in the world. You know, it is the government is the most bureaucratic entity and the schools are the most bureaucratic entity within the government.
Yeah,
But in an individual senior center, it's more autonomous. Would you rather try to find? Do you think it would be a good idea to either post some flyers up at the adult center saying you're willing to work one on one with them in their homes, or do a small group in a low key adult center that you'd feel comfortable in? Does that have any resonance for you?
I have questions about where the funding would be coming from.
Well, they're funded. The government funds, you know, we are in an era of much, much bigger government. We talk about balancing the budget, but the deficit continues to grow. The fiscal cliff, everybody agrees that we're not going to have sequestration. They're going to pass a budget ceiling limit. There is money. Don't get seduced by the headlines of government agencies that are always trying to cry wolf. In the end, there is tons and tons and tons and tons of money. So anyway, that would be my next stop. And, you know, at least that gets you started in the right direction, building on what you've done in the past without the big thing that is annoying, which is too much for you, which is the bureaucracy. If it doesn't work, you're more likely to find what will be a better path, having gone down that path a little bit, than doing some more thinking. Does that make sense?
I don't even understand what we're talking about doing. Coaching people who are memory impaired?
I'm asking if, since you say you like teaching art and you liked using singing to help mm-hmm. people who are memory impaired, it made me want, but that the problem was the bureaucracy of the school district
right.
was too much,
okay.
that going to a less bureaucratic place like your local adult center and asking them if they might like you to do a small group or one-on-one with the resident, people who come to adult daycare, adult services, adult centers, or would let you put up a flyer so for saying, I provide that kind of help at home, I will visit your home. That's what I was
mm-hmm.
suggesting.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
How would I know what kind of fees to charge for that?
I would make that negotiable. I'm a very, you know, this is my Bay Area side to me. The way I always negotiate everything is I say, I'd like to be paid fairly, but I also don't want to break your budget. So what would be an amount of money that would work comfortably within you that would feel fair to me? And usually good things, you know, within reason, good things happen from that.
Okay.
I thank you for
Thanks,
calling Work with Marty Nemko. And that is the show. That is all the time we have. I hope you found it a little inspiring, my playing the piano for you. It's a... we do all have handicaps, and it's all cliche. You know, in this area, there's nothing brand new can be said other than we make choices. We make choices whether to crumble when crap happens, or we make choices to make the best of it. In my case, it was accepting I could never play basketball again, but that I could learn how to, you know, reteach myself how to play piano instead of ten figures with seven. And if I make an occasional note mistake or I can't play classical music, which I can't do anymore, I accept it with, to use the last caller's name, with a little bit of grace, which is not a bad word to think about as we enter this Christmas season. Anyway, that is Work with Marty Nemko for this week. I want to thank my board operator, Debbie Kennedy, and, of course, all of you for listening and calling in, especially those of you who revealed that you have a problem that's significant, like bipolar. That's wonderful. There's nothing to be ashamed of anymore. It's not like when I was growing up where they put those people who have a mental handicap away in a hospital. No, it's really good that you called. Anyway, please join me again next Sunday at 11. I will do more 3-minute career makeovers on callers. No piano, but I will bring my piano on the 23rd of December, the Christmas show, and we'll play Christmas carols. But anyway, freelancing is the new normal, for better or worse. 42 million people are self-employed, everyone from programmers to nannies. But how do you get started? How do you get work? How do you get insurance? Sarah Horowitz is a MacArthur Genius Fellow. She's written a new book to answer those questions, The Freelancer's Bible. We'll talk about that. Until next Sunday, this is Marty Nemko, reminding you that we find comfort among those who agree with us, growth among those who don't.